This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, Lombardi Line here on a Black Friday. Hope you're doing well. You can see behind me the action. It doesn't stop here at the South Point, man. I don't know where the people come from, but they come and they bet, which is cool because we've got plenty of games, 16 across college football today. Of course, got a big weekend in the NFL. Tons. I mean, college basketball, as we're watching. Baylor just beat Michigan State 75-58 in the Bahamas. I mean, it's a great time of the year, Michael. By the way, I just saw Louisiana Tech let go Skip Holtz. So that's another
opening.
Another opening in college football.
It's crazy college football. So, yeah, it's crazy. It's going to be really crazy. I don't know where they're going to fill all these jobs. And Skip Holtz had a really good record.
He did.
I mean, he had a bad season this year, but he had a really good record at Louisiana Tech, which is a great job. I mean, it's a really good job. You get kind of the seconds of Louisiana. It should be it shouldn't have a down year. They obviously did. It sounds like Billy Napier isn't the LSU guy. It sounds like that he may be the Florida guy from Louisiana Lafayette. So I think there's a lot of movement, a lot of jockeying going on right now behind the scenes.
Did you mentioned that you spoke with Carl Johnson, our buddy down at the Beau Rivage. You said it yesterday, and I should have picked up on it. Did you say that it feels like they know who's going to be the LSU coach, or is that?
Yeah, that's what Carl feels like. They feel like they know it, and it's kind of gotten quiet. And I think when Aranda came out and announced that he's coming back to Baylor, that tells you usually when coaches sign extensions that were rumored for a job, they know that job's not opening. You know, that they kind of have. The news cycle is about 2 weeks behind what really happens. I think that's
right. The
best way to say it. And so literally 2 weeks behind. And so I think they probably know who they want. They just have to – they can't tell anybody because that coach is probably coaching in a marquee game, i.e., could it be Lincoln Riley? It sounds like it might be.
Oh, really?
It's one of the best jobs in the country. Yeah, it's one of the best jobs in the country. I mean, look, you know, like I've said this all along. I mean, he fits the criteria of what they're looking for. Now, whether it is, I don't know. That was all just rumor. It's been speculated that it is him. So we'll see.
Wow. Interesting. Leaving Norman for LSU. The Aranda thing, really, I thought it. I really did think down the stretch it was going to be him because of how well he's done at Baylor.
Really? It should be. You know, he certainly had the criteria to go back. I mean, the Baylor women's basketball coach went to LSU. So, you know, we've seen there's been a little bit of that. But I think more than anything is that the LSU, they feel, and rightly so, they have a national program, a national championship program every year, and they want somebody who could coach the quarterback to a high level, and that fits the Lincoln Riley description. We'll see if it comes through. There was rumor it was Mel Tucker. There was rumor it was, you know, James Franklin. There was rumor it was Billy Napier. I mean, there's been a lot of rumors. So Billy O'Brien from Alabama. There's been a lot of rumors. We shall see what will actually transpire. But, you know, I do think, you know, Billy Napier just came out and said it's not going to affect, you know, he knows his name's involved in the Florida job, and he can't deny it, but he's got to coach his team. And as a betting network, we got to figure out where there could be some variance. I think it's going to be interesting this weekend, Oklahoma State.
Hey, by the way, a lot of these coaches have Mel Tucker to thank for setting the standard on getting an extension when, to be fair, hasn't done anything. And then Franklin re-ups with Penn State. So we're starting to see some of these teams, with so many openings, just a rash of openings, we're starting to see these teams really overpay.
And nobody's saying anything about what's going on with USC. We don't even know that one yet.
Yeah, that is that'll be fascinating to see. Okay. That is coaching. I just saw it just popped up, so I wanted to get Michael's take on Skip Holtz. Skip Holtz, who, by the way, is respected within the – it's not like he's just riding his father's coattails.
No, he's done a good job everywhere he's been.
Been
East Carolina.
Coach.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. It is now time, and I always like to explain, Michael likes to eliminate a few games. He takes a look at the board. You can't handicap. There's much work that goes into handicapping one game. You can't handicap them all. So we got a little something, a little Hall & Oates Philadelphia flavor here. I can't go for that. No can do. These are John Oates plays. You want to lay off them.
Yep.
And we're going to start with the Eagles and the Giants. How about the Eagles all of a sudden? Clear the streets, because here comes the Lombardi. The Eagles and Giants right now, this number, and remember, Garrett out, this number's 3.5, up to 4 with Philly laying it on the road in division.
Well, we know Philly's lines always move. We know that, right? And so for me, why this is a no-can-do game, because I don't know what to expect from Freddie Kitchens as the new offensive coordinator. I also don't know what to expect from the Giants' injury list, right? We know the Giants have a lot of players. They have some really good skill players, but they can't seem to get them on the field all the time. Now, will they get him on the field for this game? It doesn't sound like Sterling Shepard missed practice today. You know, Saquon Barkley's limited. Kyle Rudolph did not practice today. And Tony did not practice today. And Caden Smith, their tight end, isn't practicing. So, you know, I don't know how much Freddie Kitchens can do. At the end of the day, it comes down to Daniel Jones. Is he good enough and can they block? You know, last year, and we've seen this, the Eagles have typically been able to control this series. I mean, they have done a good job in being able to handle the head-to-head. They're 8-2 overall against the Giants. They're only 3-7 against the spread. So these have always been close games. My instincts tell me to be all over the Giants. The reason I make it a no-can-do game is I don't know what to expect from the Giants. They are truly one of the most unexpected teams. And when you look at it, the Eagles win the games, but they never seem to cover. 3-7 the last 10. That's why I say it's a no-can-do for me. It's John Oates' play.
That's a John Oates play right there. No-can-do. Next up, yeah. This is a barn burner. So the Jets are in Houston, and the number's down to 2.5. But that's no-can-do, Michael.
Yeah, you know, this is one of those where you're basically saying to yourself, both 2-8 teams, right? Well, who do you trust? I trust Tyrod Taylor more, right? You know, who do you trust in this situation? You know, and that they have played a bunch over the last few years. They're 5-3 record. The Jets are 5-3 favored in that. They're 5-2-1 against the spread, you know. But we're going back to 2018, so those numbers are not really relative, right? So, you know, the Texans, the one thing about the Texans is they've been very good against the spread this year. They're 5-5, whereas the Jets are 2-8. I don't know what to expect with Zach Wilson. I don't know what to expect with the Jets defense. I mean, the Texans couldn't move the ball. If this game ended up 6-3, I wouldn't be surprised. But I don't know who it's going to go with. And so for me, it's better just to eliminate this game. Like, this is two bad teams playing, and I have a hard time handicapping bad. Like, I know one's bad, but I don't know which one's worse, you know? I know they're both bad, right? I know they're both bad. I thought there were too many points for the last week against the Titans, not because I didn't think the Titans were better than them. I just felt the Titans just didn't have the ability with all their players. And this is similar in the game where I don't know who's the better team, you know, who's the better quarterback. To me, this is a hard game. No can do, John Oates.
Yeah, that's Jets, Texans. That's a John Oates play. No can do. Monday night brings us the last of the I can't go for that plays, John Oates. Seattle at Washington.
How do you play this game? I mean, I know Washington has been hot lately. They've played much better, and it would be very tempting. But I do alert you. I do alert you that there is still the Russell Wilson thing that lingers in my head. It bothers me. It stays in my head and bothers me, you know? And I don't know what to do with him. Is he going to play as I mean, we know he's not cooking at the French Laundry, but, you know, we know he's cooking here at the Five Point Diner, but is he going to move up over to maybe he'll be cooking at Reddy's, which is one of the great local spots. Bill Berman's hanging out here. He might be cooking there. That's a little better than the Five Points Diner. I don't know. Is he going to move up to Jeff Ruby's Steak? I don't know where he's going, but he's not at the French Laundry. And right now he's at the fire. Where is he going to be cooking? I can't measure where he's going to be cooking. Because right now he looks like one of those chefs on Where the Restaurant Goes Broke, not one of those chefs that tells us how to cook. And I'm worried about it.
That's a John Oates play.
Can you?
You got big laughs from behind the glass when you started just naming out diners. What's the French restaurant? That sounds nice. What is it called?
The French Laundry. The French Laundry is up in Napa Valley. It's Thomas Keller's signature restaurant. They have five things on the menu. They cook all of them really good, right? It's expensive. It's ridiculous. I've never eaten there, but it's ridiculously expensive. They have all their organic farm stuff, farm to table. You know, you're cooking good when you're cooking at the French Laundry. When you're at the Five Point Diner, man, you're just hoping to get the burgers out on time, you know? You got one sauce for everything, right? You got, whether you put the turkey gravy on the hamburger. I mean, it's all just one thing. You ain't cooking good. You got all the spots on your apron, you know? That's what Russ looks like right now. He ain't cooking. Like, they have, the first couple games of the year, they were cooking a little bit. And I thought, man, this Shane Waldron's done a nice job. And then I start watching them, and they're horrible. I don't know how you trust him. I really don't.
Russ is like me alone on Thanksgiving with the George Foreman grill.
Exactly.
I mean, he's just open that thing up, close it. Somehow it cooks everything.
I mean, is there anything better? I mean, God loved George Thorman. He gave us, you know, he gave us so much.
What a businessman.
I mean, they've scored 13 points in the last 2 weeks.
It's gross.
They scored more points. And then before, you know, they scored more points against Jacksonville. And there's a lot of talk up there in the Pacific Northwest that Pete's not safe up there. He just got an extension.
The thing, though, about Pete is it's pretty much his team because Mrs. Allen, the sister of Paul Allen, is so hands-off. It's almost like he has carte blanche. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he does. And he's won a Super Bowl, and they've rebuilt the team, him and John Schneider. But this team offensively is 31st in the National Football League in third down conversions. They're horrible. They can't convert. But I can't go for Washington because I don't trust Washington. And I don't trust that Taylor Heineke is going to be Brett Favre again. I'm concerned.
Let's do it one more
time. I don't trust Russ to not cook because I've seen him cook at the French Laundry before.
One more time. That's John Oates. So
I just can't do it.
No, you can't do it. No, I don't blame you.
I don't see how anybody can tell you with conviction they've handicapped that game perfectly. Like, my line for that game should be 4.3. Seattle should be favorite. I'm not doing that.
I just can't wait for that Jets-Houston matchup because that's going to be fun. Oh, that's going to be exciting. Speaking of Russ, there are rumors he could be on the move. The Giants are in the mix. I have questions about Daniel Jones now that Garrett's gone. That's coming up next here. Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, you want to get some of that sweet VSiN gear, the hats, the t-shirts, we've got everything, mugs, over at the store. We're going to give you $20 in credit right now for Black Friday. It's VSiN.com/subscribe. With the $99 investment, which, as Michael says, you got to invest money to make money, you get everything we offer, including the free picks. We just had Wes Reynolds on. Well, you get emailed his picks throughout the week along with all of our experts. So go to vsin.com/subscribe. And when you do, we're going to give you $20 to spend in the store. vsin.com/subscribe. So first, this is just random, but I wanted to ask you this. So yeah. Jason Garrett was let go by Joe Judge.
Yeah.
I would imagine this is hard. I would think that some stay employed longer than they should because people like Judge or whomever don't want to have the conversation, right? Like, you work hand in hand. These guys grind 18-hour days. How does that happen, first off, when Judge lets Garrett go? Does he send him a text, hey, we got to talk? Does he talk to him right after the game? How do you think that goes down?
Well, I think what he has to do is get permission from John Mara first. I mean, he doesn't have the complete authority just to hire and fire, even though that's what it implies. You know, people think that, you know.
Sure.
But I'm sure he's had conversations with John Mara. I know he's had conversations about the concern of the offense and the game plan. I mean, he's brought in so many people to kind of help. He's got Freddie Kitchens in there, who's one of his closest friends. He's got a guy who was with us in the quarterback coach, Jerry, who was with us in New England. Jerry Schimlinski, he's there, you know, so he's got a lot of friends on the offensive staff that he knows that he's kind of asking. Remember, he brought an offensive line. He fired Colombo, brought an offensive line coach in last year, Dave, we call him Gooch. Gooch came in, and then Gooch got sent back out because Gooch knew what was all wrong going on there. So, like, this hasn't been a one-day fender bender here. This has been a pattern of bad driving for a long, long time. And so, like, why it took somebody by surprise, he finally just got John Mara to say, okay. I'm sure John Mara was saying it's going to work out. They love the Mara family loves Jason Garrett. A lot of owners love Jason Garrett. They do. They just do. They love him. They love his Princeton graduation. They love his demeanor, all those things. Jerry loves him. But at the end of the day, they can't evaluate who can coach and who can't. That's the problem with the league. I mean, Dan Campbell just got a 6-year contract. He got in a job harder to get than the United States Senator. Matt Nagy's been an NFL head coach for 5 years. I mean, it's just, you should see the phone. I mean, I was getting calls yesterday from people like, can you believe this? I got a text from a GM in the league. These are two high-paid coaches? I mean, it's comical. And it goes back to what Bill Walsh said, and this is why we do the John Oates segment, because it really is reflective of Coach Walsh, who probably never bet a game in his life. But you're only competing against eight, he used to tell me, and that was when the league was 28. Really, now that the league's 32, you're really only competing against eight. This Belichick against Vrabel, those two teams are one of the eight. But there's so many that aren't one of the eight. They think they are. The media will tell you they are. The national media will tell you they are because they do all the puff pieces on the people. But at the end of the day, they don't know.
And now the
you got to get real talk. I mean, it's real. Jason Garrett, when he took that job, the fact that they wanted to hire him as the offensive coordinator, to me was, and it wasn't that I have a grudge against Jason Garrett. I've met Jason Garrett. I don't dislike Jason Garrett. I watch him work, and I don't think he's very good at what he does. I think he's a lot like a lot of people that have made a lot of money in the profession and have gotten spoiled by it, and they've stopped working. And I've seen it done the right way. People say, well, you're Belichick's your boy. Yeah, he is, because I've seen him do it. I watched him. He's the greatest coach of all time. And when you go there and you watch how he does it, and then you go to somewhere else and you watch, that's why they all go back. That's why players go back, because they know that this gives us the best chance to win.
And I trust me when I say I hate to do this, but it's still Coach Garrett technically, even though he's unemployed.
Okay. I completely and
a lot
I'll
of Jasons
that
in there. A lot of Jasons.
He went to Princeton. You know he's smart.
Yeah, yes,
so that's important.
We know he's been riding that.
I went to Hofstra. I'm not. He went to Princeton. He's smart. You know, but I know football, and I know what he did on football was bad. But I'm sitting in my little office here in Ocean City, New Jersey, 110 miles away from the Meadowlands, and I knew it was bad a year ago. Like, how could I be here and know it's bad? And then watch it every day and not know it's bad. Like, where's that disconnect?
So then that naturally leads us to the most important evaluation. How much of an impact did that bad scheme have on Daniel Jones? Essentially, Daniel Jones has a 7-game tryout to see if he's the future for the New York Football Giants, Michael.
I have a hard time thinking that the Maras are going to allow Daniel Jones to be jettisoned out of there. I don't think they're going to admit that one. I just don't. I think he's got another year. I think he'll have another coach. I think it'll be more. They didn't want to change Garrett. I mean, I can reliably say with 95% certainty that if Joe Judge had his way, he would have fired Garrett this past year.
Okay.
But he did. He couldn't. And because one of the reasons he couldn't was because it's bad for Daniel Jones. We don't want him to go through a change. Well, it's like saying you're lost, but you're making good time. I mean, if it's bad, why are we going to keep going? If we're going in this direction and we're lost, why do we keep going? Let's stop. It's the biggest crock I've ever heard. Well, he said too many coaches. You know what that means? He's not good enough. Blake Bortles, you know, that was his problem. He had too many coaches. Really? That was Blake's problem. He had too many coaches. Yeah, okay, I got it. That's a media excuse. That's not reality.
Who do you think Judge tabs as the next OC there?
Hard question. I have no idea whether he survives or not. I mean, I think these games coming up are survival for him.
He talks good. You know what's interesting about him? Nobody talks a better game than Joe Judge, but his team doesn't perform.
Look, I mean, this is a big game for him. Made a big change. You know, I expect meaning the Mara family expects positive change in their offense because of they've allowed this move to make. Because this is what he's been preaching. So we shall see.
What will
because
look
remember,
different?
Because remember, Patrick, it comes down to players, coaches, and schemes. And what we're, the discussion we're having here is that, you know, you've seen it at a carnival where they have three white cups on the table and somebody puts a lemon in the cup and then they move it around and you guess which one the lemon's in, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the lemon's been dropped through the hole that you didn't see in the table, right? So you have no idea. Well, that's pro football, essentially. The coaches blame the players. The personnel blames the coaches. And the owners blame the scheme and the coaches, and it just goes around and around and around. The teams that are the eight good teams in the league, they only focus on getting better players. I said to somebody yesterday who was in the league, I said the greatest job is to be Belichick's personnel guy because he makes the players better. And when you get a coach that can do that, you really enjoy that. Mike Vrabel makes his players better. You could see it. You know, Andy Reid makes his players better.
Some of these coaches and organizations could use a lesson in accountability from Harry Truman. Remember what Harry had on his desk at the White House?
The buck stops here,
Michael. The buck stops
here. But the buck
here.
Never stops here because we have the media involved. You know, everybody wants to be, you know, everybody wants to be the guy who's making all the decisions. Well, the Giants, I mean, let's be real honest here. The Giants' winning percentage, I tweeted it out, you know, that's 27% in the last 5 years.
Since they won the Super Bowl, it's been a disaster.
They have a – yeah, I mean, they're worse than Detroit, all due respect.
we're all laughing now. I mean, if you're in the same breath of – and they couldn't wait to get rid of Tom Coughlin, who – I mean, all, sorry, but he just won
well,
there.
Well, I mean, you know, Tom had kind of run his course.
Yeah, he had run his course.
You know, and look, they every GM they've hired hasn't been very good. But they keep going back to the same people to get the same advice.
So, having said all that, where are you on Daniel Jones? Where's Michael Lombardi on Daniel Jones?
If I were the GM of the New York Football Giants, I'd be looking for another quarterback. I don't think he can play when the game gets fast. And I have said that and I have maintained that all along. I think there'll be – you must have the really good – he's a little bit like – Goff, when the game speeds, not that he's not tough, I'm not suggesting that, but when the game speeds up, I don't think he plays with a quick mind and a quick thought. You know, and I think to me, I would hold on to him until I got a guy. I would say I would be very much of the pessimistic point of view that he couldn't play in the league. Because I think when a game speeds up, he's not quick-minded enough.
Mm-hmm. And you do see talent, you know, big kid, big arm,
you do.
Athletic.
Can run.
Nice kid.
Best things, and that's the other problem. He's not an alpha male. It's a little bit like he's, you know, he's just a nice kid.
Yeah, Sam Darnold-y. You know, he's got a bit of Sam Darnold in him. By the way, Stefanski did tell reporters, this is Ian Rappaport, Kareem Hunt and Conklin, the tackle, are going to be back this Sunday, expected to play off the IR. So that's big
for
the Browns.
Is Baker healthy?
Well, you asked his wife. What are you asking
Emily,
me?
We'll have to check with her. I'm sorry.
Emily Mayfield has the answers. When we come back, Josh has some answers. We'll get into some college football with Josh Applebaum next here at Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
All right, so we've got a new detail there at VSiN.com, and it's Prop Tracker. It's awesome. It can help you track the odds for example, MVP, head coach, rookie of the year, and more. Check it out, Prop Tracker. It's available now at VSiN.com. Keep up with the key NFL props and all the props. Get current odds, line movements, and trends. VSiN.com/NFL. We got you back here on the Lombardi Line on a Black Friday. I'm Patrick Maher. He is Michael Lombardi. Of course, this is the Lombardi Line. We welcome in our buddy Josh Applebaum. Of course, Market Insights, Betting Across America. First off, happy the holidays. And did you enjoy your first Thanksgiving at your new crib there, Josh?
Oh, we did, Patrick. Michael, great to be with you. So, Patrick, to be honest, me and Elise made tacos yesterday. We're actually doing our Thanksgiving dinner back at my family's house tomorrow, so I'm excited to do that. But I want to give a shout-out real quick because, Michael, your grandson Dominic is a celebrity. Did you see in the Boston Globe there's an article on your family? And guess who's the lead paragraph? Dominic, the four-year-old savant going through the red zone, getting all his plays. So, Michael, that's pretty cool. Dominic is now a star.
He's amazing. I should send that guy the picture of him studying the game plans. But it is. I'll show it tomorrow. I get the game sheet too sent to me that he's studying all the time. So he is a star. I mean, he is a personality unlike any other. I can tell you that.
Yeah, great article, Boston Globe, written about Dominic. It happens to have Micken in it as well, but mostly
Dominic
is in the mix. Josh, okay, we get started today. 16 games across college football, of course, a bunch already started. An important matchup later, and I know this is one that Wes had a play on, is Cincinnati, East Carolina. The number's up to 14. Cincinnati now 4 in the polls. Where are you on this one, Josh?
Yeah, so Patrick, my angle here, and again, big public play here to Cincinnati. Obviously, they got really excited and happy to see Oregon lose that game against Utah to get their foot in the door for that top four. So Cincinnati, really public play, getting about 70% of bets. They opened 13.5. They're on the key number of 14. Might be seeing a little buyback on ECU at plus 14 right now. But Patrick, Michael, my angle here would be this windy under system match. Right now, if you're currently sweating Central Michigan and Eastern Michigan, that was an under match for earlier today, seeing that line drop with the wind and playing, having an elements here that will benefit the under. Harder to throw the ball, harder to kick it. You're going to run the clock more, chew the clock. So this would be a windy under system match for me, Patrick. Cincinnati and ECU, the total opened at around 58, seeing this thing drop to now around 56.5. And really what we've seen out of these teams recently, guys, ECU 6-3 and 2 to the under, Cincy 6-5 to the under. But if you're looking at the weather forecast for this 3:30 game this afternoon, it's going to be about 50 degrees, not too cold, but about 15 to 20 miles an hour of wind. So big wind dropping this number. And if you look at it from BetMGM, some good stats and splits here from our buddy John Ewing, 47% of bets are on the under, but it accounts for 70% of the money. So maybe we get a lower scoring game in this one. I'll be sweating the under. If you can shop around, find a 57, that'd be great. I think 56.5 could be your play here now.
By the way, boys, I'm getting, and Michael, you'll know what I'm talking about here. I'm getting PTSD watching the game that Josh just mentioned, Eastern at Central. So the game's being played in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, which is past Midland, Michigan, in the middle of your hand here. It's gray, it's wind, it's dark. I'm freaking out because that's all I felt growing up was this gray. I mean, the weather couldn't be uglier. And by the way, the game just went to the half, Central up 10-3 at the half over Eastern. But that is, I'm sure you went up there recruiting there in that area. That is, oh my gosh.
Ypsilanti and Eastern, the directional Michigan schools. Yes. I mean, how about Boise State up 16-3 to San Diego State? I mean, that's pretty impressive.
It really is. It is. And then Iowa, Nebraska. Nebraska underway. Remember Adrian Martinez, who has been there as long. Dominic is older. No, I'm trying to think. What is Dominic? 4.5?
Four and a half.
Okay, so Adrian Martinez has been there a long time, and he's going to miss his final game of his career there at Nebraska as that one's just underway. Iowa, we mentioned it earlier. If somehow tomorrow in Minnesota, Wisconsin were to slip up, Iowa can end up in that Big Ten championship game. So that one. Josh, another one. Let's skip ahead to tomorrow. The Big House. As Michael mentioned, this is a game everybody's going to be paying attention to, and we'll obviously discuss it on the Lombardi line. The number right now is Ohio State at Michigan, laying 7.
Yeah, this one's surprising, guys. Can Harbaugh finally win a big game? Who knows? But can he cover? I think you're seeing some late movement toward Michigan that's really notable. A lot of these books open, Ohio State laying 7, 7.5, got all the way up to 8.5. We're showing 8 on our board. But guys, as we get closer to tomorrow and kickoff, you're seeing a lot of Friday movement back toward Michigan. So a lot of these books are now down to 7.5, even 7. You're seeing this late movement to the Wolverines. And that's notable because this is a really big public play toward Ohio State. They're getting around 70-80% of bets across the market. Really can't blame public bettors for trying to sweat Ohio State here. They've been rolling against everybody. They're putting up like 50 points a game. But keep an eye on Michigan. This thing is coming back in their favor, and this is your most heavily bet lopsided game of the early window until you get to those primetime games late. So with this buyback on Michigan, I'm thinking maybe you're getting some reverse line movement, maybe Michigan plus the points. Again, it's hard to bet against Ohio State. They've been rolling here, but I really like this move back toward the Wolverines. Maybe we get that one possession game. Maybe Harbaugh comes to play with his team here. They're only giving up 16 points a game. Their defense has been pretty good. So coming back to Michigan, I'd be looking if you can find a 7.5, with the Wolverines here, that'd be a hazmat play for tomorrow.
I don't know if it is, because I think there's a lot of money on. I mean, Michigan's a good team. I mean, this isn't like, they have done a good job. They're 9-2 against the spread this year, and they play really good run defense. And one of the strengths of Michigan's team this year is their pass defense. They're able to shut teams down and limit how many yards they get. So I think Michigan is a good team. I think Michigan, this is a different Michigan team than what we're used to seeing from before. They score, they're getting better quarterbacking play, but their defense, especially at home, has been more effective. They're 5-1 against the spread. They've won some tough road games now. Look, they had Nebraska, just like Ohio State struggled to play Nebraska. I think that'll be more of the Ohio State-Nebraska game than it will be a blowout, Patrick.
And Aiden Hutchinson watch for him on Sundays. He should be a top five pick. He is a one-man wrecking crew on defense for Michigan. Michael and I have discussed him all year. And he hasn't Harbaugh beaten Ohio State. Most of them have been blowouts, but I tend to lean with where Michael was going there. We'll have a big-time breakdown of the game tomorrow, but I think this is going to be tight. 8 feels stale. I think it's down to 7 at most books, but it'll be fascinating, and it'll be dark, it'll be gray, it'll be noon.
Yeah, it'll be.
Trust me. Oh, my gosh.
The sun will set at 2:30. The sun will be down at 2:30.
I just
if there's any sun.
It'll be dark by 2 in the afternoon. You nailed it. Okay, Josh, anything else? Coastal South Florida is one you wanted to touch on too, right?
Yeah, just wanted to mention this one. If you've been like me, really playing this windy under system match, this would be your other match for today. So Coastal and South Alabama, total open around 56. It's kind of stayed where it's at, but some books are down to around 55.5 or even 55. Again, shop around for that 55.5. But this would be another windy under match. You're looking at about 10 to 12 miles an hour of wind. And this season, guys, in college football and NFL, it's been good in both historically and this year. But when the wind blows 10 miles an hour or more and the line falls at least a half point, the under is 48-25 this year in college football, 66% overall. You're also looking at Coastal, 4-2 to the under their last 6. And also under is 7-2 the last night at home for South Alabama. So that'll be another match to keep an eye out for. And then also, guys, one move we did see today in the NFL is further movement toward the Rams. This is intriguing because a lot of injuries here. Aaron Rodgers putting his toe up on the, you know, proving that he doesn't have COVID toe, which I found kind of funny. But we had a lot of movement toward the Rams, Patrick. It was -1.5 Green Bay Packers at home. Got down to a pick 'em. Now we're seeing it hop the fence, go to Rams -1.5, or even some shops maybe inching to 2. So further movement toward the Rams in this one. If you look at Sean McVay and his career off a loss, 14-7 ATS, 67% overall. This would also match kind of that classic dog to fave line move. And you're getting extra rest here because, you know, you bring in Odell, you lose Robert Woods, an extra practice time off a bye versus regular rest for Green Bay. That could provide an edge to the coaching staff and, you know, get your players a little bit of rest. And then that's also your biggest under windy under match for the NFL this weekend. Winds about 15 to 20 miles an hour at Lambeau. It's going to be cold. It's going to be dark. You've seen that total fall 50 down to around 47 at this point. So movement to the Rams, and that will be your top windy under match for this Sunday.
Yeah. Michael, Josh, I don't judge people for their proclivities, but when he put that foot up on the table, I'm not a big foot guy. I'm grossed out by feet, whether they be male, female feet. Like, when that foot hit the table, I was like, ugh, okay, I don't care if you have COVID toe. Get that thing the hell away from me.
Yeah.
Last question for you both. There's Christmas movies. Is there a discernment between Christmas movies and Thanksgiving movies? So I'll start with you, Michael. If you were to give me a Thanksgiving movie, does one stand out?
Well, I think there's a Thanksgiving movie that launches you into the Christmas season, and that's Home Alone.
Great.
I think that's, you know, it's kind of everybody watch it. It's not a Thanksgiving movie, but it launches you into the spirit of Christmas.
That's a tremendous answer. I'm going to watch it tonight, Josh. You got one?
Oh, man, I've been thinking. Elise asked me the other day. I can't really think of a Thanksgiving movie. I mean, Thanksgiving is all about football, watching all the games. And by the way, Patrick, your Detroit Lions, 7-4 ATS now. They can't win a game, but they keep covering.
Oh, shut up, Josh Applebaum.
Just cover the number,
zip it. Yeah, hey, quickly, 20 seconds, 10 seconds. Duke Gonzaga on the way out. What do you got?
Under. Neutral court under, 154.5. Expect a lot of points, but we could get an underplay here. I'm looking at an under.
College Hoops, Duke Gonzaga under. Great job, Josh. Happy holidays,
thanks,
buddy.
We'll talk
to you soon. We'll see you on Sunday.
Appreciate it.
Okay, we've got more NFL to do. Home Alone's a good one. That's what I'll say. Home Alone's a good one. We're coming back with the Lombardi Line.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it is the king of sports. This one, to me, is if you're a new bettor and you're thinking about signing up somewhere, it's BetMGM, because bottom line is this weekend, pro or college, you pick a game, you bet $10 money line. If either team scores, you win $200 and they just deposit it right there into your account. I mean, it's that simple, and it's the bonus code VSIN200. You have to use it over at BetMGM, VSIN200. Visit BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app for terms and conditions. 1-800-GAMBLER, if you do have an issue. That one right there is about as good as it gets from our partners at BetMGM. Okay, we got you back here on the Lombardi Line. It's just it really is. It's crazy because we've got the college hoops going on, Michael. You've got the college football
it's
all day.
Insane.
It's just one of those things. We'll be here tomorrow all day Saturday for the Lombardi Line. But there's a lot going on right now, man.
There really is. But let's focus, you know, like this weekend is a hard card. I don't know about you, Patrick, but I think it's hard to pick three games. You know, of course, the great Bill Berman told me it's hard to pick games every week. But, you know, I mean, the reality of it is this is, to me, it seems like an awfully hard card week. You know, like on paper, I like the Chargers to beat the Broncos. But then Teddy Bridgewater's the king of being the dog, right? Minnesota, I think, should be able to beat San Francisco. I'm worried. You know, you're just going back and forth. There's so much back and forth in your head. Is there anyone that stands out to you?
Well, we were just Santos and I were just having that discussion. So let's go over a couple of these. And I'll just throw one at you that we were discussing, and you give me your initial reaction to the game. And that is, in division, Steelers-Bengals. Okay?
Love Steelers. This is the one I love.
Okay. So 3.5 is the number right now with the Bengals. You love the Steelers.
I think in the contest, it's 4.5.
Is it? We've got 4. It's mostly across the board. It's 3.5 painted now.
Contest, in the circuit contest, it's 4.5. So this has gotten bet down. Yeah. 62% of the tickets on the Steelers, 71% of the money. I like the Steelers here. I think that they got beat once by them. I think Tomlin's coming off that game. Ben's back. You know, maybe they're healthy on defense. We know Fitzpatrick's back. I don't know where T.J. Watt is. I think before you play it, you have to really look and see where T.J. Watt is in that game. Let me just check here real quickly. As of yesterday, T.J. Watt was limited with his hip. Hayden was limited with his foot. Yep. When you're limited, means you're going to play. Ben was limited too. So I think this might be the healthiest, the healthiest, other than Ebron, who didn't practice, this might be the healthiest the Steelers have been for a while.
Question, even if you get Watt, who's so tremendous, and Hayden and the defenders back, how effective can they be? How many snaps will they get? So this is, wow. You haven't been as bullish on the Steelers this year, but you're coming into this one hot, huh?
Yeah, I just think, to me, it's hard to beat a team twice. And I think the Steelers know that they know how to play them. They go back. They got humiliated there last year. Plus, they got beaten this year. So, I mean, the Bengals are on a 2-game win streak. I think they might even be on a 3-game win streak, actually. I mean, you know, and I just think, to me, you know, when you look at it, I think the chances are the Pittsburgh's got to play well. This is really a Custard's last stand game. Now, the record over the last 10 weeks is 8-2, is 8-2, but the spread is 5-4-1. So the spread goes back and forth here.
And frankly, for the Bengals, the team that we can't quite put our finger on this year, all of a sudden that Raiders win, a little bit more impressive with what the Raiders did last night against the Cowboys. So,
yeah, the Cowboys did not look. I mean, look, the officiating, we could talk about it until nauseam. The Cowboys need to get healthy on defense. There's no doubt. They need Gregory. They need DeMarcus Lawrence back. They got to get healthy. And I think, you know, the concern you have as a Cowboy fan is, have people figured out what Dan Quinn's doing now? Because they're not getting the turnovers that they used to get, right? If they can't get the turnovers with their defense, then, and their defense has to play minutes on the field, you know, then it becomes a real issue. Then I think it becomes the problem, right? And when you look at it, they have gone since their bye week, the where they have won 2 and lost 3. Okay, the Cowboys are 2-3 since the bye. They have only created 5 turnovers in those 5 games. 3 against the Falcons, they dominated. 2 against the Chiefs, they lost.
To your point, when this conversation started about, there's some amazing, like this week, the matchups are incredible. I can't wait for Sunday's show. And one that I would point out would be Tampa Bay, Indy. Well, like this is, like, do you believe in Indianapolis at this point?
This is another one I like, though. You've hit the 2-1 that I really like. I like the Bucs here a lot because I don't like Eberflus's defense, and I don't think you can go play Tom Brady and not let him read your mail. I think if Tom Brady reads your mail, you're in trouble, and he'll read his mail. And I do think the strength of the Colts is their defensive front, and I think the Bucs will handle that. They can block them. Conversely, they've got to run Jonathan Taylor. They have to. And the Bucs run defense with Vita Vea. Will he be back? I think he will. Right? Will Vita Vea be back? He was almost going to play last week.
He was almost going to play last week against the Giants.
He was, right. So now he plays this week. Devin White's back. I think it'll be really hard to run the ball on this Buck defense. And if you take away the run from the Colts, and you put it all on Carson Wentz's plate, I think you got problems.
So you like laying the 3 in Indy with Tampa?
Yeah, I do. I mean, and once again, in the contest here, I think the contest had it, Patrick. I think it was 1.
Hmm. Wow.
See, these numbers have all risen. I mean, these numbers have all risen. And that's why I think it's important to look at the contest numbers just as a point of reference to see what the action has been. Not that I'm in the contest or playing the contest, but the fact that you can look at it. Yeah, let's see here.
Is
no,
it
it's
one?
3 in the contest.
It's
You're right.
It was 3 in the contest. Okay. I was going to say 1. Wow, that's an interesting number. So Mick and Dominic got the run today. Let's give Matthew a little run. He and his Carolina team will head down to Miami. This is a big spot for them. This is a big spot for Carolina.
And it's a big spot in Matthew's house because his little son Dino is a huge. It was born in Miami when he coached down there, and for some reason the little fella loves the Miami has a dolphin.
Shout to Dino.
So this is a lot of conflict going on in his house now. I could tell you that.
Yeah,
I think Carolina's the better team here. I have this as a 5.43 game. The line's 2. I think Carolina's defense should cause some problems to Miami. Now Miami's very good in the opening drive of the game. They get Tua flowing into the game. They do a nice job. But this offensive line for Miami against a really good defensive front that didn't play well last week, I think this is a critical game. I think Carolina matches up well against Miami.
And no disrespect to Dino, but Dino, here's the thing. There's something called the W-2, and your dad collects it from Carolina. So
he's just too young to understand it. And he loves his father, so he's just too young to understand it.
With all due respect, Dino. Wait, isn't Dominic – is Dominic – he was obsessed because they were undefeated, but is he an Arizona guy?
Oh, he still calls them the undefeated Cardinals. No, he's a Patriot. He's Pat the Patriot all the way. And he's also a Carolina Panther fan. Dominic is, you know, he knows who roots, like, he'll say Uncle Bill's Cowboys. He knows my cousin Vince, who he calls Uncle Vince. He roots for the Packers, you know, so he'll probably call it Patrick's Lions, you know?
Thank you. I appreciate that, Dominic. He could tell his cousin a thing or two about allegiances. Now the that's funny. Dino likes Miami.
Miami has a dolphin. He says Miami has a dolphin.
That's what
he said. It's not the Miami Dolphins. Miami has dolphin. So he's only 2 years old. So that's what we're getting out of him.
This is random, but we were having the conversation about Jones. There has to. I mean, Miami's conversation about Tua has to be ongoing. Do you expect the Watson situation to end up in Miami somehow, some way?
I think it has to. You know, I think it has to. I mean, I mean, they have the assets to do it, and I think Miami's already made their decision on Tua. I know they have a 4-game win streak, you know, but, I mean, you know, in that 4-game win streak, Tua played. He threw for 273 against Houston. He didn't play. Baltimore, he came in and played the second half. So, you know, to me, I can't imagine that they feel like they can go further with Tua. I mean, I think we've seen who he is. It's a lot of checkdowns. I mean, a lot of throws under 20 yards. And if you get played correctly with that offensive line, it's going to be hard for me. Again, what is the lead about Tua?
Nothing. 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 Go ahead.
Daniel Jones has a lead. I mean, Daniel Jones can run. I mean, and he's got a better arm than Tua. Now, what I think Tua does a really good job, he throws the ball well in rhythm, and, you know, he is accurate on short throws. I think there's no doubt about those.
Yeah, sure.
Once you take away that, what do you have left?
Still, this pick in the end zone a few weeks back where the guy wide open and the defender just had time to get over there because he means well.
There's no gun. There's no rocket in the arm.
It's just not enough giddy up, you know?
No, he can't drive the ball. And that's why he doesn't like to throw it downfield because he's concerned if it's going to get picked off. He's worried about it.
Those safeties are quicker than you think, quicker than they were in college, right? They'll get there.
No doubt.
It's off to the bakery for you.
We'll hit it, Patrick. Yeah, we got errands to do here, Patrick. You know, this you don't sleep in this town. There's no rest.
Ocean City, ride or die. Okay, well, enjoy it, and we're back here early tomorrow for a college football Saturday on the Lombardi Line, Michael.
Thank you,
enjoy
Patrick. Thank you, Matt Santos.
Enjoy it over there. Dominic, nice little shout from the Boston Globe. And Mick, you were in there too. We'll see you tomorrow here on the Lombardi Line, a Saturday edition, a big day. Odds On's coming up next. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.